right foot because I'm blessed to be able to be here and to be with those of like precious faith. So I'm thankful to be here. I'm happy to be here and I'm glad to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We're always thrilled to have visitors with us. We thank you for coming. It's always good to have you with us. It's good to have our good friend Benjamin Joseph with us. We've known Benjamin and his family for a good number of years. And his dad and I did a lot of preaching together in Perry County, and so I'm glad that he's with us this morning. It's always good to see him. I'm glad that every one of you are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. The authority that settles every matter, religiously speaking, is the Bible. So I'm not going to use the time to tell you what I think about something, how I feel about it, or how I think it ought to be, or how I see it, but what God says about it. And I'll be the better for doing that, and you will too, if you'll settle for nothing but what the Bible says. For scripture reading this morning, I want us to read together from the book of Matthew, a passage that you know so very well, Matthew chapter 16, begin with verse 13. Jesus had just had a discussion previously in the chapter with the Sadducees who had requested a sign from him. And he was always busy about teaching individuals and so wise in what he was doing. A lot of individuals sought to ask him questions, but they weren't asking from the standpoint that they wanted the truth, but they wanted to ensnare him or entrap him in his words. And so always and just stand in awe many times of the Lord's wisdom in responding to individuals who asked him a question. Just how he did that with great wisdom. And he never allowed himself to get entangled by man. That's easy for us to do. But the Lord never was entrapped by what man said. He knew the hearts of men and he knew how to respond to individuals when they would ask him questions. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, beginning, the Bible says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" How would you respond to that question? You know, different people give different answers to that question. Some don't believe that Jesus was even a real person. And some believe that Jesus was a real person, but they certainly do not believe that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, such as the condition of the Jews of today. But he asked him, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now you may think about who people have told you that Jesus is. Maybe you think about your friends or your family or different associates. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others that thou art one of the prophets." Now, notice what the Lord says to them then. He first begins saying, "Who do men say that I am?" Then he brings it home to them. And he says, "Who do you say that I am?" So I ask you this morning, who would you say that Jesus is? I love the confession that Peter made when he answered and said, verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So who do you say that Jesus is? There's many things that you could say that Jesus is. In fact, there's a number on my outline this morning. If you want a copy, let me know and I'll get it for you. A number of which we're not even going to talk about this morning. You could just go on from the Bible of who Jesus is. Makes a good study. And the first one that I want to think about right off the bat is a confession that Peter made. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If you are a Christian, you've made that confession, haven't you? You believe that. You've come to a knowledge of that, and you've expressed that verbally. That's a confession that you must make. To acknowledge that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? Have you confessed that? The Bible says in Romans 10:10, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You know, in the denominational world, they have you confess different things. And I've studied with folks on the Bible and say, "What did you confess when you became a Christian?" Sometimes they don't say that they confessed anything. Or sometimes they say, I didn't confess anything. Maybe they say they called upon the name of the Lord. That is verbally to say, "Lord, Lord, save me." Maybe they came to an altar or something they call, and they just prayed until they felt like they were saved, but they didn't confess anything. And then you study with some folks, and they say, "Oh, I confess that I was a sinner." Well, does the Bible say that one confesses he's a sinner in becoming a Christian? And then some individuals say, "Well, I confess that I was already saved. I confess the fact that I am a believer and I was a baptized believer after they baptized me after that." But in Romans 10:10, when he talks about that you must confess with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You confess the fact that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like he commanded in Matthew 10:32. "That whosoever shall confess me..." Now there's a big difference in saying "whosoever shall confess me" and "whosoever shall confess his sins." Now after you become a Christian, you repent of your sins and confess them unto God in prayer. Acts 8 and 1 John 1. But in becoming a Christian, you confess the fact that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Peter on another occasion confessed that Jesus was the Christ. You turn over to the book of John chapter 6 and you notice after Jesus was deserted by a lot of his disciples, many of them turned and followed with him no more. He said, "Will you also go away?" John 6:67. Now notice what Peter said. "Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.'" Now watch this. "And we believe and are sure." Peter, what is it that you believe and that you're sure of? "That thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Are you that sure this morning? Do you believe it and are you sure of it? Have you confessed it? Are you a child of God this morning? Like the eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. When he said, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" That never gets old to me, does it you? To read those conversion accounts in the book of Acts. Precious souls being added to the Lord's church. The same church you're a member of, if you've done that. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Son of the living God." And he was baptized for the remission of his sins. And so, who do men say that I am? More importantly, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But also, as you think about who Jesus was, we understand that he was a prophet prophesied of old that would come. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, as Moses is giving some nearing final words to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab before he would die, before Joshua would be commissioned to take them over to the promised land. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, beginning, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." Now folks, there were a lot of prophets that were sent to the children of Israel. But he's not talking about those prophets. "The Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet unto thee from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him shall you hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, say, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not.' And the Lord said unto me, 'They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee.'" Moses was a great deliverer. Moses was a mediator, stood between God and man in delivering the law. There's a lot of types and anti-types between Moses and the Lord. "And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Who on earth is Moses talking about? Well, you come over to Acts chapter 3 and you see the application of that which Moses said. Peter has something to say about that in Acts chapter 3. Begin with verse 19. Peter says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now watch this. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets." I told you there was many prophets sent to the people. But Moses prophesied that God would raise up a prophet from among them like unto him, and that they were to listen to all that he would speak by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet..." Now God said, "I will require it of him," in the passage in Deuteronomy 18. Now notice this. The Bible is its own best commentator of what that means. "Which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." You lose your soul if you don't listen to him. You get the point? "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with their fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Peter himself, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made application of Deuteronomy 18 to the Lord, to these people, the Jews, in Acts the third chapter. In Luke 7:16, they glorified God, saying that a great prophet hath arisen among the people, and God hath visited his people. "Hear ye him," God said from heaven, Matthew 17, verse 5. And God speaks to us today by his Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. Now the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, Romans 15:4. But the authority resides in King Jesus, the Christ. As we'll talk about, we just talked about a moment ago, the prophet that would come. But also, when you think about, who do you say that Jesus is? Well, he is the Christ that was prophesied of old, confessed in the new, of which we believe and confess today. He's a prophet, as we just studied, and he's a chief shepherd. Shepherd is one who leads, the idea of a flock being led and cared for by a shepherd. Shepherd, elder, pastor, by the way, in the New Testament has reference to the same office when it comes to the organization of the church. Over and over, folks keep calling me a pastor. I'm not a pastor. As one fella recently said, a pretty good point. They had begun meeting in their building. They said they met one Sunday and the authorities came and said, "If you do it again, you're going to be cited and fined and maybe jail time." And he said, "Well, who are you going to charge?" And he said, "The preacher did." Law enforcement said, "We're going to write the pastor up." He said, "Well, good, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a preacher. I'm off the hook, I guess. I'm not a pastor. Just a preacher." The chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. And then verse 1 beginning. 1 Peter chapter 5. And begin with verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear..." Who's he talking about? "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Jesus said, as recorded in John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. I won't follow a stranger. I'm the good shepherd." In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Who am I? The Lord would say. You're filling in the blank. But also, who do men say that I am? Jesus, the Bible says, is presented as a lamb. You got to watch those words, by the way, as and like. In the Bible, those are similes, making a comparison. But He's the Lamb of God. And the Jews were certainly familiar with the idea and the imagery and the use of a lamb. It was used in Exodus 12 concerning the Passover. In Exodus 13 relative to redemption. In Leviticus 5 concerning atonement. And concerning Christ, John said on one occasion, John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God," that's right, "that taketh away the sin of the world." In the book of Revelation, John sees, as it were, a lamb in the midst, he says, that was as though it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Remember, he saw that book that was sealed up and he wept because no man was worthy to open the seals and open the book. And he was told, "Don't weep. Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He can open the book, make its contents known in essence." And he saw that lamb as though it had been slain. In Acts 8, as a eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, he was reading a passage that you're familiar with. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opening out his mouth." There's those words, as and like. "And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth." The Old Testament says his life cut off from the land of the living. He was slaughtered, but he didn't open his mouth. He was executed, put to death. And in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 19, when he talks about being redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold and so forth, but he says, "with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Who is Jesus? The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But also, Jesus is a master teacher. There's a lot that can be learned from the way that Jesus taught people. Just recently read a book, "Jesus as a Controversialist." It's a good read. Everywhere he went, there was controversy. You know what one of the problems is today? We're not controversial enough. A good gospel preacher that I think a lot about, he's known him for a lot of years. He's not the authority, but he told me one time, he said, "You better just remember you will not convert people without confrontation." A lot of truth in that. A lot of wisdom in that. Jesus came on the scene after he was baptized and went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4. And he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 4:17. When is the last time that you and me told folks that they needed to repent? When's the last time we've done? Do we care enough for people to do that? I appreciate our young people are willing to stand up and teach people the truth because you love them. You have friends that you care about. And you want them to do right and you want them to go to heaven. I told you in a sermon not long ago, we sometimes just talk in such general, broad terms that nobody would disagree with, religiously speaking. We need to do all the Bible says. Oh, I agree with that. You talk to someone that maybe is in a denomination of this or that kind. We'll agree with that. We need to do all things by the authority of King Jesus. Oh, I agree. But they don't realize that they are still yet in the devil's camp. They'll agree with you on things like that, but we've got to teach them you need to get out of the devil's camp, out of the churches that do not sing, and into the Lord's camp, into the church you do read about in the Bible. If they don't realize that, they'll never come to a knowledge of the truth. And the Bible says, no mistaking about it, in Matthew 15:13, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." We better teach them as the Lord taught people. In Matthew 7:28-29, after the Sermon on the Mount, they were astonished at His teaching because He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. John 3:1-2, the words of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. Why, I don't know, neither do you. But he came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know you are a teacher that come from God. He confirmed those things with the miracles that he did. A lot of other passages lay out the example we have in Jesus, the master teacher. Who am I? Who am I? Jesus is the light of the world. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, the Bible talks about some individuals who sat in darkness. Remember that statement? Matthew chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew 4:12 beginning. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Think of people who, by the way, was cast into prison. That'd be a good sermon. Try to remember to write that down so I don't forget about the imprisoned people. Be a good sermon. Now Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison. He departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, now listen to this, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, the next verse says, begin to preach, saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The people that sat in darkness saw great light. Jesus is the light of the world. See, God made two great lights, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, but He's not talking about that light, the sun and the moon. He's talking about a man who came and gave spiritual light whereby men could see their evil deeds, their evil ways, their spiritual condition, and obey the gospel that they be reconciled unto God. John chapter 1, he makes many statements about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1:1-5. He's the light of the world. Lights our path whereby we can see. Psalm 119:104-105. Two more points quickly. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's the Savior of the world. We all need to be saved. All of us need to be saved. I know my past. I've told you that many times. You're aware of your past. I know that I need to be saved. I know that I'm guilty, that I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know that. Say, well, don't folks ever remind you of that? Sure, I'm reminded by self and reminded by others. You have folks remind you of your faults and failings too? We're not perfect. If we were, Jesus would not have had to come. But my sin, your sin, the sin of the world affected heaven itself. You ever want to know of who does my sin affect? Many folks. But it affected heaven itself. As a result, God loved us and sent His Son into the world, which was in the eternal mind of God before the foundation of the world. Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I can't save you, folks. I can preach the gospel. You can obey it. But Jesus made provision for that. He shall save his people from their sin. Matthew 1:21. He's the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Luke 2:11. A Savior is born unto you this day. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. One more point. Who am I? Who say ye that I am? I want to impress upon your minds this morning that when Jesus comes back, He's going to be judge. And I want you to understand that. There's coming a great judgment day. We all understand that. Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Give an account of the things done in this body according to that we have done, according to that ye have done, whether good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. Jesus is going to be the judge, and the standard will be the Word of God, the Bible. The books were open, Revelation 20, 12 through 15, and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books. Jesus said, "The words, he that receiveth me, or rejecteth me rather, receiveth not my sayings, as one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall watch." Judging the last day. When God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Romans chapter 2 and then verse 16. So I ask you, have you obeyed it? Have you obeyed the gospel? And heard the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it that Jesus is the Son of God? Repenting of your sins to turn from your wicked ways and do that which is right, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, as we just talked about in the sermon. Matthew 10:32. And being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You're not being faithful. Things have been amiss in your life, but you realize that. And on this beautiful Lord's Day, God has granted you an opportunity that you could be restored. The right relationship with Him by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, don't delay. Come right now.